1 million new.
1 million rand?
No, because no, you know when you can make 50,000 this month, next month you can make 10,000, the other month. Anyone can say it's easy, because with being a content creator, it's like it's working for yourself.
Yo, welcome to No Chill Vodcast, Mafetu. I'm glad again to be here again, Mafetu. This is episode 3 of No Chill Vodcast. As you guys know that this vodcast, or podcast, if you prefer to say that, it's all about inspiring people. And like I said, it's all about three E's. The first one is to entertain, second one is to educate, and the third one is to empower or encourage others. So today, Mafetu, we have a creative in the building. His name is OK Cedric. He's been around the streets of social media for, I think, over 5 years now. And he's been doing the most of stuff, like he's been entertaining people. But other than just being an entertainer, he's also a qualified IT specialist. The last time I spoke with him, he was actually studying, but now he's done with his studies. So, Cedric, welcome to No Chill Vodcast, and it's a pleasure to have you here, man.
Thank you for having me here, guys. I hope you guys are good. We're here to inspire. Yeah, you understand?
Exactly.
And educate, you know, so because we've been hustling in this game and stuff.
Yeah.
But now we're here to also give tips on how you can be something or do something in the game as well.
That's so great, yeah, man. Thank you so much, man, for your time. Cedric, without wasting any time, bro, can you just please just introduce yourself and... just after introducing yourself the way you want to introduce yourself to your people, just give me the background story on how you started as a content creator, and what was the something that motivated you to just say, you know what, today I want to start this thing and I want to be consistent until I become something.
So, hello guys. This is OK Cedric here. My name is Cedric Ngube, by the way. I'm from Musina. It's not a small town, but it's a small town. So, yeah, I'm turning 26 this year. So I've been in the game for a couple of years now, more than 3 years. Mm. And I love doing content.
Yeah.
What inspired me to start doing content was that I was a class clown. So I was those students there were always talking in class.
Yeah.
So basically that's what made me love content. I used to be a WhatsApp content creator. Not sure if you guys know that or if that exists, but I was a WhatsApp content creator.
Yeah.
I used to create content for WhatsApp. So I started like on WhatsApp, you just take a funny video and you post on WhatsApp. So if you have like maybe out of 50 people that viewed your status and then 10 of them laugh, yeah, so it's something. It's like the same way when you get views on YouTube.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, that's where we started.
So you were posting on the group or on
my status.
Oh,
I post on my status. And then right. Everyone's just like, oh, you should post more. You should post more every day. And I used to do that with Tonelo.
Yeah.
You guys know him as Moses. And
yeah. Moses.
Moses.
Yeah.
You know? And the people that inspired me during that time with skits was Fesh. Yes, Fesh.
Yeah.
That is a goat.
Yeah, I know.
So I used to look up to that guy. We used to watch his videos on Facebook and we were like, yo, this guy has a twin. Yo, that's nice. So now I also have a twin.
Yeah.
Zuzu is my twin. You guys know.
Exactly. Just take us to the whole idealization of Zuzu. You know, you've created a unique character for yourself. And I mean, a lot of people are loving it. And it's all over on social media. You've managed to have like 400,000 followers on TikTok. Over that, even on YouTube now, you have like almost 50,000 subscribers. That's big. It shows that people are loving what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Can you just please take us back from the beginning when you started? What was the, how did the idea comes? Like say, okay, I'm gonna start Zuzu and this is what I'm gonna do.
Okay, so with Zuzu, guys, it was, I played the character Zuzu without a name. So there was this other time, because I was just creating content. I didn't know what I didn't have a character or anything. I was just creating random content. So this other day, I was sleeping. So when I woke up, I just imagined being irritated by a kid, you know, like kids, how kids irritate when you wake up. So I just imagined somebody coming to open the door and just looking at me and not saying anything, close the door and go. And I'm, you know what, let me shoot this. And then I shot that. And then that video just went... It went crazy. I'm like, oh, okay, so maybe this is me. I shot another video. I used to just call them like young siblings. So I'd hashtag young siblings, hashtag young siblings. And then I started shooting like that. Probably I shot like 8 videos without a name. And then this other time I was like to people, guys, can you please help me find a character name? What name should I name this boy? And everybody was just giving me names. Lebu. Different names. And by that time, there was this other sound on TikTok that was trending. Meepao, Zuzuzu, Zuzuzu. I'm not sure if you know the sound.
Meepao.
And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to choose names from the names people are giving me. I'm going to name this character Zuzu. And then from there, it was Zuzu. We were Zuzing our way to the top, you know.
And in the beginning, obviously, before Zuzu, there was this type of content that you were doing, the grandmother and the grandson.
Talking about that, I remember I joined your life as a grandmother that time. I was so excited, I'm not going to lie. That day when you accepted me on the live. So guys, I used to play grandmother and I used to create content in my own language. And then that's when also No Chill told me, he's like, dog, you must, I know it's nice content and stuff, you're pushing content, that's dope. But you must also, to grow your fan base, do content in English as well. So that you have a wider audience and stuff, because it's going to be hard to find more audience with just one language and all that. And then I did the most, and then I started doing in English, and then here we are. My English is even getting better.
Exactly. I mean, I took it from me. Like, obviously, we are not people who are, like, English is not our mother's tongue, you know. So we have to force ourselves to do this thing if we want to reach broader audience. So that's what your content, the structure and everything was fine, but you were doing it in Venda, and understand, I'm Venda too. Sorry to Venda people, but I just advised him not to use Venda only if you want to like outreach the numbers. And now, I think it was 3 years ago, if I'm not making a mistake.
During
pandemic.
Yeah, it was during the pandemic. Oh, it's been 3 years, guys. Pandemic happened 3 years, started 3 years ago. Time is moving.
It's 2 or 3, I know, I can't remember. So, obviously, you did that. So I just want to understand, did you have any siblings? I mean, where's this idea come from? And even the things that you do, obviously there has to be some sort of experience. You cannot just do these things. You have to understand, were you someone who was like a younger sibling or an older sibling, and you had like your younger siblings doing these things? So now it's just a reflection of your past.
So like, I have brothers. I was Zuzu. Basically, for some time I was also Zuzu, and then there was a time I used to stay with my cousins at home, so they were like my Zuzus as well. So I had that experience with siblings, that siblings are always irritating, because I was the irritating one and I was also irritated, so I could play both parties because of that reason. You know, so that's what helped me be able to also come up with some ideas, because I know how to irritate and I also know how to react when I'm being irritated and stuff. So
So when did you realize that this is the content that I want to stick with? Because, I mean, you can't just put content. I'm sure before you've been putting types of content and up until a certain point where you can say, or I know, this is the one. When did you realize that?
So I realized that after, you know, when you're shooting content and you try to do something different. And you don't put, I didn't put Zuzu. And then in the comments, everyone's just like, where is Zuzu? I thought Zuzu was going to come at the end. I thought Zuzu was going to say something. I thought, you see, they went, Zuzu should have came and said something. So that's when I knew, I guess, they want Zuzu. If I do something different, they always ask, where is Zuzu? So that's how I knew, I guess my content, I can't do anything without Zuzu. I can do something else, but Zuzu stays. They should always be Zuzu, because of that reason. People want to see more of Zuzu content. They love me for that, so I will give them that.
Okay, and I understand that you started on TikTok the last first time that I checked your content, I saw it on TikTok, Instagram, maybe you just came now, and YouTube also is it's venturing now. How was it to grow or to start something on TikTok and to grow, like compared to other platforms? Do you find TikTok more easy or like understandable in terms of the algorithm? And how would you advise someone who wants to start content?
So my advice to somebody that wants to start is that just start and ignore the numbers.
Yeah.
And start, because you never know when your day is coming. Mm-hmm. One of those videos that gets like 5 views tomorrow, or after 3 months, or after a year, your video might come back and you find that it has like 1 million views.
Yeah.
So just do your content and ignore the numbers and start. Just give it a start.
Yeah.
What's important is starting.
Yeah.
Once you start and consistency, you start and you're consistent, trust me, something will come up. You're not going to do those things for nothing. Something will come up and you'll find yourself doing the most.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about consistent. I mean, it sometimes can be hard. You are consistent, numbers are not coming, and every day, like, you just get to post, but no comments, maybe 5 likes from your relatives, you know, it happens.
Your
friends also. But what keeps you consistent? I mean, you're not looking at the numbers. What advice, what is it that keeps you going if it's not about the numbers? Because, I mean, we need to have, like, a sort of some feedback to see that whatever that we're doing, it's something. Should you do based on what people are saying, or you just have to do based on what you want to do and it's aligned with your whatever that you feel like you love doing?
So you just do you. You understand? Sometimes you do your content and you'll have negative comments at first, start. So you just try to improve whatever you're doing. If you feel like what you're doing, you love what you're doing, you work on bettering whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
So the more you work on bettering the thing that you're doing and you make it better, sometimes there's some comments that you can look at, it's positive, or some of them is just a learning part. They will tell you, yeah, I think you should have done this there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you look at it yourself, some things you'll be like, ah, this person is hating, but there's the truth inside the thing.
Yeah.
They will be like, bruh, when you're doing your video, don't make it look that side, all of them, because it's disengaging or something. You take that, you're like, oh, maybe this person is right.
Yeah.
Let me swallow my pride or whatever I have and then do this and see what happens.
True.
So when you listen to, there's some comments you can listen to, and there's just some that's just trash. Somebody just comes there, you are whack.
Yeah.
You are whack. Obviously, you can't listen to somebody telling you that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, you just have to just do you.
Do you.
I understand. So, on TikTok, obviously, what were your struggles when you were starting? Like, when I talk about struggle, anything that you can consider, as a challenge for your upcoming, you know, maybe some things that you could have noticed and say, let me just stop this thing. This thing is not even worth it. What were those things, and how did you even overcome them?
My challenges were like editing the videos.
Yeah.
You know, like making it a skit, because I've always wanted to do content of people speaking and stuff.
Yeah.
So the editing was hard.
Yeah.
Because it's like I don't know what to say, and my things were not structured as well.
Yeah.
Challenging part was that during that time, because I'm doing speaking things, both characters, I didn't have a structure or a thing of a script.
Yeah.
It's like I'm speaking things and then I'm answering something different because I just shot this and I shot that. So it's like I'll be like, hello. It's like, what are you doing? The answer is like, what are you doing? It should have been, hello, how are you? So forth, so on. So I didn't have a structure of what I'm doing. I was just doing so that I post, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't have like an idea, proper ideas. I had an idea, but I couldn't like capitalize, put it together and make it work, you know. So
now, how did you overcome that?
I learned from Chinese kids.
Yeah.
You guys know him as Moses because of the way how he used to do things. So he would advise me, write a script. You know, when you write a script, you don't forget your lines. You understand? So once you write your script, even if I'm shooting right now and then something distracts me, I still have the idea written. Like I can still go, oh, this is what I wanted to say. Oh, this is what I wanted to say. And then you can still say the same joke that you wanted. And you push your
thing. That to me sounds, I know I create content. So I understand what you're saying. But there's someone at home right now who's be like, what is this guy talking about? Just to take the people through the whole process of creating Zuzu idea until to a point where you post, what has to be taken into consideration? What are the step by step so that people can understand?
So it starts, you see, I'm sitting right now, me and Nochi, we're sitting here, and then I'm just sitting here. I imagine we are shooting, like we're being serious. Yeah, we're shooting, and then my brother, because it's we're shooting at my house, my brother just comes out of nowhere. Hey, guys, you're making noise while we're shooting something serious. Yeah. Says that, guys, you're making noise. Yeah. And I just think of a whole scenario of, oh, what would happen? So what can I add to that? And then I think of it. I have an idea of how the video starts. I just need to find the end. Or how is it going to end? What's going to be the killer punch or whatever? Yeah. And then the killer punch is like me slapping Zuzu for disturbing the whole thing. Or the killer can be like, no, she ended up getting angry and he went home. So we never shot the whole thing. Mm. So Cedric was fired at work because of that. So with that, the start and the end, I have an idea. Mm. I take my phone. I have apps that I use to write scripts. Take my phone, go to the app. Start the whole thing, opening scene, I'm typing. The opening scene is we seeing Cedric and Nochil, they're having everything, they're talking, everything is going well, until Zuzu comes. So now that Zuzu is here, I write Zuzu. He says, what are you guys doing? Cedric replies, Nochil reacts. It's like me writing a whole, I need to write every reaction that you do and every reaction I do must be written on the script so that I don't forget when I do. From there, the idea, the script is written. I save it, probably 6 pages or whatever pages it is. Get to the shooting. Shoot Zuzu's part. Shoot my part. Shoot your part. Go home, edit. And then, the video is done. But it takes time. It takes a lot of time. And especially with the sound effects, that's the hardest part. I find that harder than the whole editing. Putting sound effects, because the sound effects must add more humor.
Yeah.
They must make the video more funnier. Yes. Like, you say the when you say a point like a banger, there must be a sound that goes zing because you say the banger. Like, so what are you doing, bruh? You look like something. What? You look like a monkey, or you look like zing. What? Zuzu brings back a punchline, zing.
Yeah.
You understand? And then with that, I save the video, I post it. That's work done in the office.
Yeah.
Now I post my video, find a caption, and then we move.
I mean that to me sound complicated, bro. I mean, and the thing is, people don't understand the process of even my videos as well. Mm. Like, everyone who's creating content, but what you guys see is the end, but the behind product. The scene. And I'm sure yours takes hours. How long does it take?
Shooting, depending on the script. If it's a 6-page, and there's a lot of action.
6 pages.
Yeah, I read a script of 6 pages. And that 6-page, you might find that one with the outcome of the video is like 4 minutes, maybe.
Yeah.
So it takes me like an hour or two or three, depending on the actions and the amount of characters that are in the video.
Yeah.
If I'm playing 3 characters, it takes more time because there's a lot of different people playing in there. And then the editing, in total, it takes me maybe like 4 hours.
Mm.
But I normally edit and I stop and I edit and I stop so that I take breaks, so that I don't just edit because I'm frustrated and whatever. Yeah. Sometimes you're editing and things are not making sense. You forgot a line and you can't go reshoot because I was shooting while I was in PTA and I stay in Joburg. I can't go reshoot. Now I have to think of a way I can fix the mistake I made. So,
this is a job.
It's a full-time job. A stressful one sometimes.
And people don't understand.
They don't get it. They didn't get it.
Now I see that you're doing YouTube. I mean, in the beginning, obviously, you started with TikTok. And TikTok then was like 60 seconds long video. Mm-hmm, so it wasn't that much of a work. Now it's YouTube. And how was your approach from the short form video to the longer version now? What do you think has improved? And what were the challenges? I mean, obviously, editing was part of it, but other challenges, now it's like you're changing a place, you have to adapt to a new place, like from the one that you were comfortable on. Now you are into YouTube. What did you learn from YouTube? And
so YouTube was harder than TikTok, the starting, guys, I'm not gonna lie. And some of you might not want to do YouTube because you posted a video last year or 2 years back and it still has 5 views. YouTube is hard. So the challenging part with YouTube was the whole script, it had to be longer.
Yeah.
And the editing becomes more So, but it was challenging because of the numbers as well, because you're looking at your TikTok numbers, you're just like, but my fans, come on, guys. You guys, you're like 150 yeah. or 200 on my TikTok. And how am I getting like 200 views, just 200? When I put the link on my bio. I told you guys, full video is on my YouTube and you guys don't watch.
Yeah.
So that also stresses you. Like, okay, maybe I should just stop YouTube. Because it's not working out for me on YouTube.
Yeah.
So the challenging part is also thinking about the numbers, because you have them. You know, there's nothing that's stressful like when you have numbers but you don't have them.
You're not getting them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, I have the numbers but they're not coming.
Yeah.
What's happening? Things like that. And worst part is that those people are the ones that told you, bro, you should make longer videos. You know,
exactly.
Make longer videos. And then I'm like, you know what, let's go make longer videos. And then I make longer videos. Where are you guys?
They're not there.
Ah.
And what do you think people are not like, okay, I understand YouTube and TikTok. What are the differences in terms of audience vibe? Like in terms of the way you observed or discovered the differences in terms of how audiences react or how audiences engages with your content. Do you think people are more active on TikTok than YouTube? And what do you think, if that's what you think, why do you think it's like that?
I think people are more active on TikTok, I think.
Yeah.
Because obviously the videos are shorter, so it's just easier to finish the whole video. And then after finishing the whole video, you can just comment. It's like 30 seconds and stuff, so it's easier. With the whole 3 minutes, 4 minutes, some people just don't want to watch the whole video. So they don't even comment. It's like, okay, it's already boring.
Yeah.
But TikTok is like, it's out.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's why people engage more on TikTok, because it's a shorter video and it's easier for you to just talk about whatever you had and in a few seconds.
Now you are on YouTube. How is the algorithm there? How do you determine that this video will reach? What do you look at before, beside the content itself? Because there you're working for numbers, obviously, because that's where you get paid.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So how do you then make sure that everything is aligned? What do you look at? Like, I mean, that people are posting every day, but the numbers are not coming. What can you do as a YouTuber to at least make the algorithm favors you?
So I don't know if the trick really works for everybody, but I have my days. Like, I have my good days on YouTube that I can post, that I know that the algorithm is good. Mm. So Saturday and Sunday, I post around 12 day or 1 or 2. Mm. Because on Saturday and Sunday, it's a weekend. I feel like people are at home. People these days just watch in the internet, basically, smart TVs and all that. So on Saturdays and Sunday, people are chilled at home. Most people are at home.
Yeah.
Maybe some are at Groove, obviously. Some of you love Groove more than anything. So it's like people are at home during that day. It's a chilled Sunday, especially on Sunday. It's a chilled Sunday after church. People are at home.
Yeah.
Cool. You just post your video. People want things to watch. So on Sunday, what are we doing? We are just at home watching OK Cedric's video.
Yeah.
So I find those days easier for me to get numbers. But during the week, people at work, at school.
Yeah.
So my fan base is kids. During the week, kids are at school.
Yeah.
And during the week, some kids don't have phones because their parents want them to study during the week.
Yeah.
But on weekends, they get to have their phones.
Yeah.
So I get to benefit on weekends and stuff.
It sounds like you understand your analytics. What is the importance of understanding your own audience and just to build your brand and become, because some people are just posting, like, they don't really care about the analytics. They don't even know what is analytics and stuff like that. So can you just please maybe define analytics in your own understanding, and also just give the benefits of understanding your own audience to the people who are watching?
So with analytics, with me, it's like how your numbers are, like information about who watches your videos, how's your video doing, the reach of your video, where it reached, and so forth, so on. So it's very important to know that, because you get to analyze what type of content you should put for the certain age group that you have, or the type of people, if you have more females or if you have more males that watch your video. So you make sure your jokes could align with your audience, so you make it make more sense to the audience you have, so that they continue watching. So if you have like kids watching your videos, you must make sure your jokes easier to understand. You know, it's not like too complicated. It's like not like dark humor or like things that wouldn't make sense to a 12-year-old or 16-year-old.
Yeah.
So if by understanding your audience, like if you have adults, you know, I can make a joke like this, they'll get it.
Yeah.
You know, but kids can't. So you can't have kids on your audience and then you put something kids won't understand and the numbers keep going down because the kid will come and be like, oh, I don't understand this thing. And then they scroll. Yeah. Now you lost a fan because of that. Yeah. So, yeah.
And that's a good way to describe it. I mean, I actually know who follows me and what they love. Mm-hmm. So it's a good strategy to know your audience so that you can be able to then strategize your content. There are people who are busy swearing, but majority of their followers are kids.
Mm.
So you see, that's when we start losing it. So these things, it's to check the analytics and to understand them. And I'm glad that you do that. I mean, not every creator actually focuses on the analytics. Mm, they just go with whatever and that's okay. Mm. So in terms of, I mean, making money on monetization is a big part of being a creator. Mm. I mean, you cannot mize it. It's if you love what you do, at the end of the day,
you need to pay bills. You know,
you understand. So TikTok, I don't know, did you go or did you move from TikTok? Not really move completely, but I just go to YouTube because there's money, or it was just part of trying to grow? And even if it's about money, there's nothing wrong, but I just want to understand, like, what motivated you to go on YouTube?
It's the money. why hide it?
No,
you know?
I mean, you don't
have... Why hide it?
Yeah.
It's money, because I had YouTube, you get to get paid for your content.
Yeah.
On YouTube, you get paid for your content.
Yeah.
Then I was like, okay, why not? It's like me, I'm still making the same jokes, but at the end of the day, I'm getting the bread.
Exactly,
you know?
Yeah.
Because on TikTok, I can grow my fan base, but am I getting the bag off a video, or I need to get campaigns to get the video? So on YouTube, you get... Once you get monetized, you get paid for your own stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, it's work. It's like work. Me going to work and then getting paid. Mm. So it makes you want to push more.
Yeah.
YouTube gives you that vibe of, you know what, I need to shoot, because if I don't shoot, I don't get money.
Yeah.
On TikTok, it's, I need to shoot for the fans.
Mm.
But am I getting a little uchnyana? No, you know.
I mean, that's true. Okay, this misconception, or maybe misinformation, I don't know, honestly, but according to my own experience, I don't know anything about this. Mm. They say you can make money on TikTok. A lot of people are saying that, you can make a lot of bag on TikTok. But based on my own experience, I've never made any money inside the platform itself. There's nothing. So maybe you know better and you've experienced better, or you know someone who've made money. Mm. Can you please... just according to your own knowledge and your experience, can you make money on TikTok for real? Like money back? Like
I would lie. On TikTok, I think you can, they say you can make it on a live and stuff, but the money that you would make, you'd need to go live every day. Your content needs to be you on live every day. I'm not going to lie and try to make it look cute and stuff. Your numbers on lives must be good and people must be giving you gifts. There's those things. I don't know if there's any other way of making money on TikTok, but it's like those people that give you gifts and then you convert the money.
But you make like real bag, like 100K a month?
Oh, why? No, not the our African TikTok. Not this one. I don't think so. If there's somebody that makes that, please come to the podcast and then give us tips.
Yeah, no,
we'd really appreciate it.
We're saying this because we've never experienced it. I have like 400,000 people on TikTok. My videos get millions of views and stuff like that, but I'm not making money on it. So on YouTube, what are the processes that you have to take before you can start making money up until you can get to a point where you make money and be okay with making money? Like from the start, there are people who actually wants to make money on YouTube, but they don't know how and what processes they must take and stuff like that. So just take us through that process based on your experience, obviously.
Okay. Yeah, so for you to be monetized, you must have like 1,000 subscribers.
1,000 subscribers.
And then you must reach at least 4,000 watch hours. You must download YouTube Studio to also just be able to analyze your things.
Yeah.
And then you must be on YouTube for like, your account must be like 6 months old or something like that. And that's it. From there, you can start chopping the money when you are creating the money now.
Yeah.
That's and all you need to
do. What are the things that you have to look at that actually contribute to you making a lot of money? Obviously, going back to the analytics, what do you look at if you know? I'm a YouTuber. There's things like retention where you have to see how long people are watching your videos. Your CPMs, like how much
in your
advertisers pays for. Would you say, I understand maybe you like there's some things that you don't understand, but would you say a lot of YouTubers are making real bag? According to your own understanding, based on what you're getting and the understanding now.
Yeah, I know a lot of people because when I look at my numbers and I look at other people's numbers, I'm just like, yeah, you in your account, you have more than 1 million.
1 million rands?
No, because, no, you know when you calculate, sometimes I might not be accurate, but I'm just saying, Uri, your net worth can reach that.
Yeah.
Because if your numbers are like this and you post every day, come on, bro. A month you can clock 100K. I just look at him like, this guy can clock 100K.
Who do you think is clocking 100K? Yeah, according to your own experience, that would be lies just based on the
on
number.
On YouTube, you can clock 100K.
Mm. And it's based on what?
Because of the numbers and the consistency as well.
Yeah. The numbers, you mean views.
Yeah. Subscribers are just subscribers.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
It's like they, but the views are the ones that count more because subscribers, it's your people, it's fine.
Yeah.
Do they watch now?
Do you know anyone who maybe, I mean, this obviously, it could be lies, could be just you, but just analyzing it and just your opinion.
I think, I don't know him that much, but I feel like because of his consistency, he might be clicking between 80 to 100K ghost loop. Yeah, ghost loop. That guy has two channels.
Yeah.
A week he might post three times.
Yeah.
Bruh, come on, man. So and his views are good. And he knows how to, he knows YouTube very well, that boy.
Nah.
I can clock that much. Yeah, a month.
We should get Ghost Loop to come here. He must tell us the truth. He must not hide this thing.
Yeah.
And I've been trying to call him and try to get him. He's running away. It's good to share Ghost Loop. If you are watching it, please. The economy right now, we are in recession. Kids want to eat. So come share your secrets, Bafu.
Come give tips.
Yeah. So, I mean, bruh, like you obviously you go around with content creators like Moses and the crew. I mean, you guys, I saw you with William.
Mm-hmm. William last year.
Those are the goats of the internet, bro.
Yeah.
I mean, if we have to be honest, what is it that you are learning from them outside just in life, in basic, and in obviously in content creation? Mm. I mean,
no, those is like those two. William, I haven't spent a lot of time with him, but I've spent some times, I've seen him a couple of times.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've learned to be humble, especially with Moses.
Yeah.
Like to be humble, bruh. Mm. Like don't brag about anything. Just do your work.
Yeah.
Moses has this thing of telling Muri, you just do your work. Your numbers will speak for you.
You know?
Your numbers and whatever will speak. You don't have to say anything to somebody and be like, no chill, bruh. Me, I'm better because my numbers are like, you don't say anything. Just do your content and keep creating your content. God will do the rest.
God will
and
do it. Yeah.
Those guys are good to a point where when I'm with them and we're creating content, the way they come up with ideas, like Moses has a way of coming up with idea that you won't understand. You can just be sitting here. He might come with an idea that's crazy and you guys shoot it. Yes, this thing also is when you shoot it and then he's editing and then it doesn't come out the way he wants, it's not going on the internet. He doesn't do this thing of I'm posting because I'm posting. Mm-mm. If he's editing and he doesn't like it, something doesn't seem right, the video goes down. It's not going to be out there. It doesn't matter who was on the video. It doesn't matter how much was spent to create the video.
Yeah.
As long as
just one quality.
Yeah, as long as it's not what he's looking for, then the video goes down. We create something different or we recreate it.
Yeah.
And so I've learned that your content, you must value your content. Look at it as this is my brand.
And that's what you have learned also.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I saw you graduated last year. Congrats on graduation.
Yeah.
What is the importance of education, especially as a creator, because there are people right now who are creating content, numbers are there, but they're just saying, what should I study? What would you say as an advice, obviously based on your experience? What is the importance of education as a creator also? And even there are kids who are watching right now who are saying, I'm a student, I cannot create content. And how did you even balance up to a point where you now you have content every time on the internet, the same thing you are passing? Like, how did you balance and what is the importance of education?
So kids, go to school, finish school. Kids, school first, you know, school.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, school comes first. You must be able to, like, it helps you with reasoning, a lot of things. Your mind, you get to be able to know how to research certain things. Mm. School teaches you a lot, guys. Mm. When it comes to, as a content creator, you must also be smart at the same time because you can be robbed, you know?
Yeah.
So you must be able to be able to communicate for yourself sometimes because you won't always have a manager or PA or whatever.
Yeah.
So even the managers can rob you if you're not smart.
Yeah.
So go to school and learn how to be able to communicate and able to save. To create content, you also need to be smart.
Yeah.
Because you might say things that you shouldn't say and you might get cancelled. You understand? Because the internet can cancel you fast.
Yeah.
If something, you say something that's, I don't know, maybe, I can't even say anything because I might say something wrong. You know, that's why I went to school. It helped me, it saved me the, I could have said something and I could have been cancelled. So, and with managing school and content, during the times I was studying, I created content based on the difficulties of studying. So it was like I could create content while I'm studying and then I'm finding something hard. I just take my phone. I'm like, studying is showing me flames, guys. I don't even know if I should continue studying or if I should just sleep. We move. Stop. I post. Yeah. So I created content. I go back to my books. I continue with my books. Tomorrow I go write. I pass. After that, create content based on, hey, the test was hard, but we made it and we continue, guys. Let's keep going. Things like that. So I don't know. I used to be able to balance the two. I don't know how I did it, but I tried my
best. You always find a way if, like, you're serious.
Understand. Yeah. If you're serious about both things, you can do it.
So, do you see yourself being a creator full-time? And if some companies comes and say, hey, Cedric, we saw you graduated as an IT person. We have a position here. We want to give you like 50K and you have to be here like 9 to 5 every day, Monday to from Monday to Friday. Would you consider it?
If the money is good, then I can sacrifice that 9 to 5. And then the rest of the free time, I can use that time to create content.
Yeah.
I think I can, depending on the money. If the money agrees, I'm just like, okay, during that time, I can make this much. Why not?
Yeah.
But also, if the money is small, and then I know if I push myself extra harder with my own content on YouTube, I can make that extra whatever they are telling me I can make and also still have free days, then why go to work and drain my energy when I can make it off YouTube? True. But if I know I can't make that bag off YouTube, then I have to go to work, and do both.
Yeah. Is it easy to live off by YouTube or content creation as like a person in general? Like, do you just live off Jay and you be okay with everything, have a car, have a house or rent a house and have still keep a lifestyle of being a content creator?
It's not easy. I don't think anyone can say it's easy because with being a content creator, it's like it's working for yourself, you know, when you own a business. Months are different.
Yes.
This month you can get 50K, next month you get 5K, next month you get 1. Because it's business. It's not always, the numbers are not always the same. Because it's not guaranteed that you can post a video right now on WeChill and then it gets 1 million views and it means the next one will get 2 million. Yeah. The next one can get 0.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
and now you don't make, you don't make money.
Yeah.
So you must always be able to save as a creator.
Yeah. Because I've heard people saying that they're living off. There are people right now, you know, who thinks that being a content creator alone, guys, I'll be honest, and this is my opinion. There are people right now who thinks being a YouTuber, having over 100,000 followers, it's all good and stuff like that, and making money, but it drains you. As people, we still need freedom, you know.
Yeah.
You don't have to be creating every day just because you know, Uti, if you don't create,
you won't eat
or you won't get to a point where you can afford to pay your rent. It's not fixed. YouTube is not fixed. You can make 50,000 this month, next month you can make 10,000, the other month you can make 4,000. So it's hard because I mean, you're looking at the number. I mean, right now I always check how much did I make this month so far. If I can see it's 4,000 and it's on the 20th, I know what's high, man. I need to push.
Yeah, because
I
mean, time is almost up now.
You understand? There's just a lot of things that are actually trying to come. I have expenses. So I don't think living off by just being a content creator, it's easy. I mean, they can lie to you and they can tell you that they're living off. Some of them, they have backups. They have parents who have money. They have boyfriends who are giving them stuff. Some of them, they don't even, they stay at home. So I think YouTube should be sort of a hustle in a way. They should be like a 9-to-5 or some sort of business that you're running.
That you're pushing as well, yeah.
So that, I mean, that for me, YouTube is a side hustle. I mean, any other thing online, it's a side hustle. I've been telling people that I have 9-to-5. You also know that.
I know.
I have 9-to-5. Even this is the hard.
That's why when I came here, I asked you, when are you going to work? And you're like, night shift.
I'm working night shift. So just to put it out there so that we don't misinform you guys, it's not easy. You know, you can be a content creator alone and but that will never be like make you the richest person, not in South Africa actually, because what I've realized, brands or South African brands, they're not investing, and that's what King Omar said when he was here. He said brands are not investing a lot of money to YouTube. The South African brands are not paying YouTube to advertise their stuff. So if no brands, we're only eating off by few brands in South Africa. So it's hard to make money as South Africans YouTube.
Yeah.
But compared to the States, people are they're even becoming rich because the brands in the States are investing money in YouTube
on those
ads.
Platforms, yeah.
So like just to understand your growth, I mean at least now, even if everybody YouTube is closing or TikTok they're closing, you have a degree, you've graduated, and do you see yourself like becoming a YouTuber for like or a content creator for the rest of the time, or you just gonna see what is the plan for your brand?
The thing is, I love being a content creator. And I would want to be a content creator my whole life.
Yeah.
But if things happen to go south, then I have a backup. And all thanks to my mom. She also had a role in putting and telling the boy, you can be whatever you want, but especially if you're going to want to go into acting things, you must have a backup in case it doesn't go well. Because my mom told me, if you're going to be an actor, because I wanted to go study acting, I had two options. I wanted to go study acting or do IT.
Yeah.
My mom is like, acting, you can learn how to do it and then do it.
Yeah.
And then do IT as a backup so that even if you try to do acting, because out of a million, they're not going to take all of you for acting.
Yeah.
You understand? Same thing with the creator. Yeah. Out of a million, not all of you guys are going to be big creators.
Yeah.
Being honest.
Yeah,
straight
true.
Honest.
Yeah.
Like, come on. So my mom told me, do school, my boy, and then you can do whatever and you can be whatever you want.
Yeah.
But you have backup. So in case things go south, you can still go and be like, I have this, guys, can I employ it?
And that should be an advice to people who are watching. You guys, you're watching here. It's cool, Lafit. Have backup. We understand you want to be a YouTuber. We understand you want to be my Jaivan. Jaiva, well, you know, would say, I have a degree.
Yeah,
at home.
I have a backup.
Yeah, you have a backup. So, you, these days we're living in a technological world, man, and IT is one of those things that are highly required. Do you see yourself incorporating content creation in your IT knowledge?
I feel like definitely, because at some point I might want to create my own platform. where I can post my own content. I'm just like, oh, hi guys, please watch my content on OK's application or OK software so that whatever and whatever. Because if the other apps can be cancelled, I can like try and collaborate with others and we create our own app, our own platform
I think that is actually what you should do now before, don't wait for those platforms to, I mean, you have the knowledge and I'm sure you can get people who can help you. I have a website where I post jobs, I post bazaaries and stuff like that. I created it myself and I monetize it with AdSense. I'm still making like living out of it by just sharing valuable information with people. I don't have to be posting my videos because they can watch it on YouTube. I'm posting bazaaries. For those who doesn't know, guys, please go visit www.nochillinmuzansi.co.za. I'll put a link here for bazaaries, for jobs, if you want jobs, learnerships, even some valuable information like what I understand about social media, how to make money using social media. So that's a platform that is mine and I'm making money with it and there's no problem. You understand? I feel like you can also do the same. Your audience, if you are sharing, and it doesn't have to be always your videos. There's some sort of, you can even educate IT, bro. We're living in this world where having a degree of something and you keep it and say, there are no jobs. You don't understand the economy that we're living in. If you have the knowledge, open a YouTube channel. Teach that subject that you understand. Forget about that. You have that thing. And it actually qualifies you to talk about it. If you have a degree in IT, you can go there on YouTube and say, guys, I have it here. So listen to me. I'm teaching you. And now you're going to become, okay, Cedric, there will be Zuzu and there will be Cedric who teaches IT. You understand? So we should not limit ourselves. It's hard to just have one source of income.
That's true. You must have, by all means,
a lot
different types of source of income. Just in case this one closes, there's still three more opened.
Exactly.
This one closes, you open another one. There's like, there must just be a gang source of incomes, guys.
That's my advice to everyone, even to whoever that is watching here. Don't be too comfortable with your 9-to-5. You are risking your life. So Cedric, in the industry, man, what have you noticed, like industry of content creation, what have you noticed is like good trends and bad trends, the whole industry of content creation, or what do you think, there's a bad side of it? I think people deserve to know and understand before, there are people right now who thinks all this thing is all good and stuff like that. Khanti, there's some dark sides of it and we don't talk about it. Obviously, we always promote this good side of it. What are the good sides recently that you've noticed and what are the bad sides that you've noticed?
So especially with the internet, there is a lot of bullying. So with bullying on the internet as creators, we get that a lot, but it's not like something we talk about or something we show that I'm being bullied or whatever. So we get bullied a lot. You can just get a text or a whole paragraph from somebody swearing at you and telling you things you don't even know. Or somebody does research about you and then they bring back things that happened to you long time ago and certain things. And if you get that a lot, that's depressing sometimes, you know. Because somebody just trying to get into you, and some are able to, some you can ignore, but there's someone that can do it to a point where it just hits you hard and you're like, you know what, I'll delete my account. And because it just frustrates you to a point where you're just like, you know what, I want to quit. I want to stop this thing. Why am I even doing? And that time it's just one person. Because they say something that's so heavy and bullying. So I don't know what I can say. Even the platforms as well, the way they treat creators as well. They can just remove your video, and because they say you are wearing a shirt that's written whatever, things that don't make sense, but the other person posted with the same t-shirt, their video was not removed.
So you say there's no equality. Which platform is that? TikTok, Instagram?
TikTok. Instagram, I haven't really had much.
TikTok is more... For
TikTok,
me,
I don't know if their things are strict, but it's not fair sometimes.
There's some certain agendas TikTok is pushing, just that we don't know. But I honestly, that's why I don't use TikTok like that. I'm not so passionate about it. And it's I mean, for those who are using it, I'm not saying it's bad. Just for me personally, it's not a platform that I can actually say, it's the big one. I prefer Instagram and YouTube. Those are the giants. And Twitter as well. There's reality there.
Twitter, me, I don't have Twitter. Me, I'm scared of Twitter. Hey, Twitter is toxic. Yeah, you must be brave and strong for Twitter.
Yeah, I mean, Twitter taught me to be brave. Otherwise, I don't think I'll be here where I am now.
Yeah,
I've learned from it. And I mean, in talking about platforms now, I feel like it's the right thing. I mean, I want to start creating content. Obviously, I have an idea. Which platform should I start on and why?
TikTok. I know it's not fair, but TikTok is easier to grow than most of the platforms. You can grow faster on TikTok than you can on Instagram, based on my own experience.
Yeah.
I think it's easier to grow on TikTok. You can gain like 20,000 followers in a day on TikTok. It's that easy. If your video just goes viral,
once
you get numbers, your followers will come. So TikTok is easier.
So now that is also another problem, because if it's easier to grow, how authentic it is? I mean, if one video can get you 20,000 followers, how authentic is do you, like, I feel like for brands wise, let's say brands want to collaborate with you, which I'm going to ask you on how you've worked with brands, I know. How do then they select influencers? Do they look at the numbers? Because I mean, if it's easily, you can get numbers just like that, and maybe you reach 1 million. How is it effective for brands to actually say, okay, this person has 1 million and it just came overnight? Do you think those people came there because of your brand or just because of one video? And how does it even work in terms of selecting? I don't know. I just want to hear your opinion on this, like the effectiveness.
So with brands are different. Brands want different things.
Yeah.
Some brands want you because you're no chill.
Yeah.
They already know the influence and the impact you have.
Yeah.
Some brand want you because you are trending at this moment.
Oh.
It means your numbers are current.
Yeah.
Like you are the thing now.
They want to use you.
Yeah. It's not about you having small numbers, but they know they see the potential as well. With you creating this content, they can tell or know, hey, this one, if we does a campaign right now, it's a spark. But with No Chill, they're like, No Chill has been in the game and No Chill is still in the game. So we are doing a long-term thing.
Yeah.
So No Chill, post this thingy, we are in it because we know No Chill has influence and this is how No Chill works.
Yeah.
That one, mostly it's a risk with other people. It's like we're taking a risk by using this person, but whatever happens, it's a risk we're taking.
Yeah.
So brands they select whether they want No Chill with experience that we want to work with, or this person that's in form right now.
And you put it in a nice way. And I mean, the understanding, how is it that you understand these things? I mean, do you somehow learn or read books about marketing and brand stuff? Because I was asking out of curiosity, you know, but you answered it very well, as if like you work with other brands, like behind the scene on, okay, let's select this. Like, how did you get that information?
So with me, I've worked with you guys. I've worked with creators that have been in the game.
Yeah.
And I have this thing of, let's say I'm working on a campaign and they say I must talk to somebody on WhatsApp.
Yeah.
That person, I try by all means to build a relationship. Just not a friendly relationship, by the way, guys. Not a relationship otherwise. A friendly relationship.
Yeah.
So it's like I try to understand the person. Whenever they ask me, did you do this? I ask that person a lot of occasions. So what should I do now? Should I post this now? What am I doing? So what do you guys want exactly? Why did you guys choose me? So I ask that person, why did you guys choose me? What made you guys choose me? That person will be like, no, we chose you because they saw your numbers and this. I'm like, oh, so you guys choose because of numbers? They're like, yeah, but not everyone was chose because of the numbers. Some we chose because they can do this. Some we chose because it aligns with our brand, this person, so forth. So I ask a lot of questions. I'm that person that I'll ask you a lot of questions for me to understand and be able to work on whatever I'm working on. Yep. I'll be like, oh, No Chill, I see you bought a MacBook. So, bruh, how is the MacBook better than the other computer you were using last time? You tell me. So when I tell the next person, I'm like, oh, No Chill said last time The MacBook is better because of that and that and that.
Yeah, so you learn from other people, which is which is a very good thing and to do. Now, we were talking about brands like you've worked with brands like I saw you worked with MTN, you've worked with Testigalos. Yeah, sorry to mispronounce that. And I mean, okay, for someone who's creating content, they are not getting brands. Ne? And obviously they want, you know, because they have numbers, they have engagement. What should they do? I mean, should they go to knock at the doors, or how was your experience when it comes to collaborating with brands and stuff like that? And also mention the bag. How do they then say, okay, we're gonna give this much, or how do you charge?
So
how much do you even charge, like?
Okay, I'll start with how I get the campaigns. Yeah. Most of my campaigns, let me just say 80% of my campaigns, they find me, they email me. So that's why you must always have your email on your bio.
Oh.
It's very important to have that. Because professional brands won't DM you.
Oh.
They'll send you an email.
So guys, put your email. There are people who don't have email. They say, they think, I'm running away from these boys. I mean, boys won't email you, boys will DM you, but big brands, like you said, they will email
you. They will email you.
Yeah, so,
I get them through that, and then others, I have to knock. If I love the brand and I want to work with the brand, obviously not all of them will accept and stuff. I've tried a lot. Before I could get equipment, I used to DM'd a lot of camera thingy, the likes of Canon, Sony, like they're like, you must submit something on the internet. I submitted.
Yeah. And did they reply?
They did reply. That made me happy, just getting a reply. I didn't get the brand, we didn't work together, but the fact that, they actually replied. So that's something. So some of them you have to like DM, you have to knock, you might get something, because they will tell you that, we will look at your numbers and we'll see, we'll get back to you.
Yeah.
Some you can find, some you don't, but it doesn't mean you should stop trying and all that.
Yeah.
And with charging, you must have a rate card and also...
What is the rate card?
A rate card is where you write your pricings. Like on Instagram, I charge this for a video, charge this for a still post, I charge this for a story, TikTok, so forth, so on, all your platforms.
Yeah.
So... depending on the brands, so I have a rate card, just a normal rate card. This is a rate card that I have that it's like I say I don't go less than this. You understand? It's a rate card. It's me. I don't go less than this.
Yeah.
And then there's now when a brand knocks, I look at who you are. I don't take out my rate card. I might rob myself. You understand?
Yeah.
I look at who you are. Mm. Also, I learned to... Tonelo told me that you must, before you throw your rate card...
Tonelo is Moses.
Moses. Moses was like to me, first ask for the budget.
That's what I told you.
Before you ask, you tell them, I'm charging 15, I'm charging 10.
Yeah.
Because if you rush and say charging 15, they're like, oh, that's fine. You're like, I should have said 25.
And most of them, they come in with the budget. They know, okay, because sometimes it's content creator. Sorry to cut you off.
Yeah.
You're going to... I just want to put something out to the people. Sometimes as creators, all we know is to just create content, honestly, you know, and we don't understand our worth. You know, when you're actually doing something out of your heart and you're not looking at the money, you focus more on what you are doing. So you forget that, in fact, you don't even know. But people who are watching you, they know your worth.
Your worth.
You understand.
Especially brands.
Brands, yes. When they come into, they already have a budget. Okay, we have an allocation budget of 100,000 for No Chill God to post one video, just one video on Instagram. But when they come, they approach you with the question, how much do you charge?
Mm.
And because No Chill, maybe if you find an experienced No Chill, not this one, an experienced one will be like, okay, I charge 10,000. Our brands will be like, oh, okay, you just saved us 90K. So, okay, sharp. The deal will send you a contract.
They won't even feel sorry for you and be like, had Andre, let me give him 50. Never.
Because remember, brands, they are represented by agencies. It's not brands themselves who do the
it's
marketing.
Agencies, yeah.
So that's why when you DM them, they don't reply in a way that you want, because it's not them who are actually this. That's just in a social media account manager who runs social media, doesn't even know about the marketing, doesn't know anything. So it's better to look at which brand is represented by which agency. We look at the agencies. So you want Savannah, look who's actually an agency for Savannah. DM, go straight to them and tell them what you want. Sometimes you'll get, sometimes you might not get, but that's how you channel yourself in terms of approaching brands. You don't go DM. DM sometimes don't work. Most of the time, emails don't work. Look who's representing the brand and go look at. So You were mentioning things like charging and stuff like that. So sorry to cut you off, but you were still talking about Guti. You have to ask the budget. So do you ask them how much is the budget?
Yeah, I ask them for the budget firstly, and then most of them don't tell you. Now that's harder when they don't tell you, because you don't want to overcharge. And you don't want to undercharge as well. So
it's tricky.
It's tricky for you. Now you're just thinking, I always try by all means to find like other creators that have worked with that brand. I'm like, but I'm not asking you to tell me how much you charge them or to tell me how much they gave you or how much it works. I just want you to tell me, do they pay good or are they stingy or how is the brand before I can charge? Once I have that information, I know. I write a new rate card. Pella, it's a big brand. I propose a new rate card. Make sure that it's higher than my normal rate card. As long as anything higher than my rate card, I'm fine. Because I know where I rate myself. So if this is how much I rate myself, and then I say, okay, give me 15, give me 20. And then now they say yes. And I also have that thing of, why did they say yes? They didn't even complain.
They didn't complain. Exactly. So, but most companies, when they come to me now, they just come with their budget.
With their budget already.
So I just say, oh, okay, it's fine. If I feel like it's fine. If it's not, I don't even reply. And I know that's unprofessional. But you cannot undervalue me. Don't undervalue me. I'm just saying. So, but fine. How do you then come with the price to put on that rate? I mean, what is it that you can't just say, okay, let me say 10,000 based on what?
So I look at my numbers, and sometimes when I charge, I look at how I'm doing at that moment. Because there was a time I was not, I just recently came back on TikTok and YouTube 2 months back, because there was a time I was just having challenges, of equipment and stuff. So I was not shooting much. So when I just recently came back now, my charges are less, because I know my numbers are not good. Because I know whatever video I'll post is not as good as it could have been the time I was in form. So right now I'm coming back with form. When I'm coming back with form, once I catch my form, I'm not playing. I'm not feeling sorry for brands or anything. I will know my worth. Right now, obviously, I have to understand that my numbers are not that good.
Yeah.
But I'm still big, you know. Yeah. I know I'm still big, but my number's not good. So my charges are just like compared to, I look at my analytics and I'm just like, okay, this is how I'm doing. Obviously, I can't charge the brand because they expect me to do well. Yeah. So obviously, if I'm not doing well, I have to also reason with that, with myself, and charge them this. But I still don't go lower than my rate card.
Yeah.
As long as I'm above my rate card, I don't overcharge, I don't undercharge myself.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Cool, man. You know, we just... getting closer to at the end of this episode, but we don't just finish here. I have, like I told you, I have a trivia, like sort of questions that test your general knowledge, you know. This is no chill, this is part of entertainment. Don't forget that we three E's: entertain, educate, and empower or encourage. I mean, you've been encouraging people through the whole interview. So now this is the part where people know your general knowledge. You just know social media, or do you know other things? So the first question is what is the largest organ in the human body?
The largest organ in the largest organ in the human body. Let me see.
Okay, what are the organs? Do you know the organs?
Organs, isn't it the lungs, what, so forth, so on.
The largest one.
So at least I explained, hey guys, at least I explained what are organs. So if I get it wrong, I know what are organs. Let me see.
Zuzu, I'm asking Zuzu now. Okay. Zuzu has asked.
Ain't they the largest organ, isn't it? The intestines.
You're asking me.
Okay, let me say the lungs.
Okay, you're wrong. It's the skin.
The skin. Hey! I. Okay, I need to go back to school. Okay. Guys, I didn't do life science.
It's the general knowledge, remember.
That's my reason.
But what is the largest ocean in the world?
Atlantic Ocean.
Oh, come on, bro. The first one, you got it wrong. This is the second one. I'm giving you another opportunity.
Indian.
I see you're guessing.
It's the ocean.
The Pacific Ocean.
You what just wants to kill me? Again.
Where's your phone? Let me see your phone.
Where's my phone?
Here's it there.
Yeah.
Okay, you're using an iPhone as well. In what year did the iPhone get released?
2002.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah? 2002.
You playing guessing game, this one. I said, Zuzu.
When was it released?
Huh? In 2007.
I was not so far,
What is the largest continent in the world? Come on, this is the fourth one. I mean, get at least one. Zuzu.
Africa. I'm wrong.
It's Asia.
Anna.
Okay, now we're coming to the social media ones.
At least one. How many questions are there before we finish?
One, two, three.
Three left.
Yeah, but I can add more. Three. Okay. What year was TikTok launched? You should know this. I mean, you started there. So
no,
what?
But I didn't start with it, guys. Let me see. 2015, 16.
I say one, man. I mean, you cannot be in between. What is 2015? What is between 2015 and 16? There's no year there.
2015.
Okay, you're wrong.
2016. Oh, but now you see, but now, guys, I said 15, 16. That one I need a half mark. Half mark for me, Devan. I said 2015, 16. He put pressure on me and he made me say 2015.
There can only be one answer, my friend. What is the name of the platform where YouTube creators can earn money from their videos? Come on.
AdSense. You said what? Repeat.
Listen to the question. What is the name of the platform? Not a program. Where YouTube creators can earn money from their videos. And that platform, it Google. Has different things.
Google.
Bruh. Google.
Oh, you should be under Google.
Okay. I'll give you an answer. To go check it out, you'll see it. Because
AdSense is under Google.
No, it's the YouTube partner program.
You know, I'm thinking it's something outside of anything screaming YouTube, not no. YouTube.
Okay, maybe this one you get right. What is the name of the feature on TikTok that allows users to add music to their videos?
Don't
overthink. Just think generally. I mean,
repeat the question again.
What is the name of the feature on TikTok that allows users to add music to their videos? Guys.
Okay, guys, before I answer this one, let me explain this. I make skits. I don't use other people's sounds. So.
But as a YouTube user, TikTok user.
TikTok user, let me see. A feature. There's a feature.
Yeah, like you click on it and then.
It says add sounds.
It sounds. See, don't overthink about it, man.
I'm just trying to think of the... guys, you see me? I told you I'm a genius, me. After how long?
Okay, genius. I'm going to give you the last two, ne? The last two, genius. Last two.
Okay.
Because, I mean, you just got one.
Do we still got one and a half.
Do we still have time? 2 minutes. Okay. No, in fact, it's fine. You got wrong. I cannot help you, bruh. Okay. What is the maximum length of TikTok video?
Now it's 10 minutes. 10 minutes now. Just improved recently. I'm even adding more information to it. That's a right mark and an extra two on top of
the
explanation.
Okay, the last one. Which year was YouTube launched? You're using it now.
Okay, yeah, you got me there. Yo, YouTube launched.
This is general knowledge, guys.
Let me see.
2005. My brother.
Ah, but I tried, man.
Nah, you can't know everything.
True. You see, I can't make jokes and then... Like, guys, I was just joking. I know the answers.
I was actually telling people, whoever that comes here, they come here because they're great. So I feel like you guys deserve these things. Like,
Let me just hold so that...
Just feel it. This Sasma trophy, man, you deserve this thing. And please tell your followers to go check Sasma's and nominate you. You can even check yourself and share a link, bruh. I want to compete with you guys because my followers are actually nominating me now. Even this for this podcast, best social media podcast, No Chill Vodcast. Please, guys, do that. We're competing this year. Also, what are your last words, Mvetu, to the people and to your fans especially, and what should they expect from you in the next few months or years?
Okay, guys, before we go further, nominate the boy day on Sasmas. You understand?
Yeah. Under what category? This content creators, social media influencer.
Under content creator, anything.
Series.
To do,
you do
comedy,
series. Yeah.
Series.
Yeah.
Anything, guys. You are my fans. You know me better, so you would know what I do, and you'd know where to nominate me.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to say that I love you guys so much. I appreciate the support, and more is coming, guys. Consistency now.
Yeah.
You know what time it is. I bet. Let's gee.
Yeah. Thank you so much, guys, for tuning in. Please don't forget to subscribe to this. We all bringing all these people, great people, to educate you, to let you guys get information about the social media platforms, the industry, how to make money. So please don't forget to subscribe. I'm not used to this thing. Don't forget to subscribe. I'm out. Thank you.